Glad you're saved.
Say amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. If you got your Bible, which I hope you have, at Bible study, if you would turn with me to Luke chapter number 17 and stick a finger up there and then go to Genesis chapter number 19. Luke 17 and Genesis chapter 19. While you're looking, I'm going to pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We're honored to be here. We thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb. Wash us from all our sins. Father, tonight, Lord, I yield myself to you, Lord God, to use. I pray, God, that you'd speak through me. Hide me, God, behind your cross. Open your people's ears. This is your flock. This is the sheep of your pasture. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd put an angel of watch about our lips. That would say nothing, God, that would displease the Holy Ghost. But, Lord, that we'd say everything that he'd be pleased with. And we love you and we ask you for grace tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. Luke chapter 17, I want to read with you a few verses there, and then we're going to go over to Genesis chapter number 19. And stay there a little while tonight. But I'm interested in these last days that we're living in. And I'll be honest with you, I can't remember but a couple of times in my life when I've been so heavy with a message. And I believe with all my heart, and you can take this with a grain of salt, and I believe with all of my heart that we're on the brink of leaving out of here. I believe we're close to going home. And it don't take a theologian to see that. It takes somebody that's close to God. It takes somebody that knows the Lord, and there's several like that. I want you to listen to this here, and then we're going to go over there in Genesis. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse number 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. And they builded. But the same day. Hallelujah. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, I want you to understand something when we turn over here to the book of Genesis chapter 19. I want you to understand that Lot is a type of the church. As we look at Lot's life, understand, if you're a born-again Christian, I want you to listen to me tonight. If you're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, I got good news for you. The trials and the struggles and the things that you're putting up with, you ain't got long to deal with them. You ain't got long to fight. You ain't got long to hang on to your faith. You ain't got long to stand in the gap, because we're soon to leave this world. But if you're lost and on your way to hell, I'm trying to warn you tonight. And there may be somebody here tonight. And you may be lost. And you know down in your soul that you've never been saved. I wish to goodness you'd listen to me. But I want us to look here. We see a couple of angels here in chapter 19 going down to Sodom. And they come down at evening, and I want you to understand we're in the evening hours in this world today. We're in the evening hours. The clock's just about to strike midnight. This thing's about over. And I notice on down here, As we look, we're gonna look here in this chapter. We see that these angels came and Lot invited them in, and the men of this city, which represent this world, the men of this solemn community here, they represent the world in the day and hour that we live. They were not kind. They were mean to these angels. They were mean to Lot, and I believe they were fixing to break down his door and kill every one of them. And I want you to understand that this world hates us. This world is not fond of the church. I don't care who you think you are. This world don't like you tonight. Listen to me. The Bible says in verse number 9, we'll pick up there and start reading. It says, and they said, stand back. Lot done told them, said, leave them alone. Get out of here. But they said, listen, Lot, you stand back. They said again, this one fella came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Watch this, the Bible says, and they smote, verse number 10, but the men put forth their hand, these angels put forth their hand, and they pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. Let me tell you where God's got us tonight. You notice in the house tonight that there's very few in here, but God has grabbed you by the arm, and you're not quite really sure what's going on in this world. Everything's chaotic, and everything is haywire. But God's got you in the house of God tonight because, not really because your flesh wanted to be here, but because there's something down on the inside that said, I need what's going on down at the church house. And these angels, the God of glory has grabbed you by the arm and He's pulled you inside the house and He's got us in the church tonight. And watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, and He shut to the door. Shut the door behind them. You know what God's done here? Let me do a little explaining here, wait, about all this here, what's going on. Isaiah had a similar message here in Isaiah chapter 6. You know where he said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, so forth and so forth. The angel come, took the coal of fire and stuck it to his lip, and his sin was forgiven. And then the Lord said, I need somebody to go preach. And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And let me just read that to you. You ain't got to flip over that, but I'll read it to you. I want you to hear the message that He preached. The message is this, verse number 9, it says, He said, go and tell this people. Now, this here's a message that Isaiah's going to preach to the children of Israel as they're about to go into captivity. God's had enough. God has had a bait. He is finished. He is done. He is no longer calling them. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Watch this. He said, God told Isaiah, He said, go. He said, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. You see, I want you to understand something fully, that God is a God of grace. And God is a God of love, but there is a point that God will draw a line in the sand and He'll turn His back and He'll never come back. There is a line of demarcation that you cannot cross. And listen, one of these days, if you cross it and you tell God no long enough, He will not have you anymore. Listen to me. He said, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. What's He saying? He told Isaiah, He said, you go tell them, make them fat. He said, but I'm going to close their eyes and I'm going to close their ears and I'm going to cover their heart so that they cannot feel this. I'm done with them, He said. We look over in, I believe it's Mark chapter number 12. We look at the Lord, had pretty much the same message there. As we remember the parable of the man that had the vineyard. And he sent the he rented it out to a person, and then he sent some workers, some of his servants there to till this vineyard and take care of this vineyard to reap some of the fruits of it. And you know what they did? The ones that rented it out, they beat up his servants and they killed his servants. And finally, he sent his son, and they killed his son and said, "This is our inheritance now." And he's speaking about, Christ was speaking to the house of Israel. And I want you to understand this, that then as Christ came into this world, as He was born of a virgin here, He lived and He was here for Israel, but Israel rejected Him. And we know the story how that Israel rejected Him. And you know what that did? Christ turned His back on Israel and turned it to you and me, the Gentile dogs of this world. Hallelujah to God. Whew. If they'd accepted Him, if they had accepted Him, He'd have set up His kingdom, and who knows what would have fallen. But they rejected Him, and they crucified Him, and God turned His back on Israel. Israel was destroyed by Titus in AD 73, and for nearly 2,000 years, you didn't hear a word out of the country or the nation of Israel. What happened? God turned His back on Israel, and He turned and faced the Gentiles. And then right at the end of this whole thing, and I'm going to get somewhere here in a little bit, hang in there. Right at the end of this whole thing, we saw what we, quote, called the Great Awakening, the Great Revival, with Evan Roberts. I want you to understand, we've never really experienced revival. You ought to read some stories of the Welch Revival, the Hebrides Revival with Evan Roberts, how that he prayed and how that God come upon him, how that Duncan Campbell, how that God come upon this man. He would go into a town, and before he could ever have meeting, the bar rooms and the brothels, they would shut down totally. Businesses would totally collapse. Beer joints, the liquor joints would totally shut down. Because men would walk out the doors when they sensed the presence of a thrice holy God. They would walk out the doors into the streets, drunk as a dog, crying out to God, begging God that they wouldn't go to hell. That's the drawing power of the holy God we serve. And we've seen the Great Awakening in Whitfield. We see all the way to Shubal Stearns. If you ever get a chance to go up there close to where Brother Jody is, I believe it's Sandy Creek Baptist Church. Shubal Stearns got the calling from God, and he left up there, and he come down to North Carolina there and started the Baptist Church. And listen, every Baptist church from here all the way to North Carolina, throughout Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, it branched out of that one man's church. I've read stories about that, how that he would be there. I believe there's monuments out there, how that he would hold services for weeks, and people would ride in a horse and carriage for 40 miles. A lot of times all day and half a night just to get to church. But you know what happened in 1948? 1948, Israel become a nation. We thought it was World War II. We thought that what was happening is that men just couldn't get along together. The world was getting too populated, and men couldn't get along together, so we started shooting at one another and fighting one another. Oh, let me tell you, there's a more sovereign, providential thing going on than that. What God was doing was putting His nation back together, called Israel, and He turned His face back to Israel. And He's drawing powers going back to Israel. And ever since 1948, sure, we've had some phenomenal meetings. There's been bunches and bunches of people saved. But from 1948 till today, we're experiencing the great falling away. The church is in no comparison to what it was before Israel became a nation. Here we are. We're in the last minutes. I want you to understand that. Watch this. He pulled Lot in the house to them and shut to the door. Verse number 11. Watch this. They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. You want to know why a lot of folks ain't getting saved today? God's called and called. And he's about fed up with it. He's about tired of it. Church has become so corporate, commercialized. It's done gotten to the point of where it's nothing but a business. People literally go to college and get a degree to become a pastor. They get a degree just like if they was going to be a scientist, if they was going to be an engineer, whatever. They literally do that and look at it as a profession. But honey, it's a calling. Listen now that they wearied themselves to find the door. Here's where I want to preach from tonight. Watch this now. It says, the men said to Lot. And this is what I want you to ask yourself tonight. Listen, he said, the men said to Lot. Now, this is in the final seconds. Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. He's not talking about houses and lands and jacked up trucks and four-wheelers and pocketbooks and whatever you women like. But he's talking about, if you got anything that's precious to you, you better be laid hold on it. For we will destroy this place. You remember what the book of Mark says. But you remember what the book of Luke 17, chapter 17 says. For we will destroy this place. Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Bible says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The church has gotten to the place nowadays, and it's sad to say, but the church has got so commercialized and contemporary, and it's got so corporate that this world looks at it and it mocks it. There's people out there, you can get on YouTube and you can see people on YouTube that mock preachers. They get thousands and hundreds of thousands, even millions of views from getting up and mocking men of God. They mock what we do here. People that you work with, people that you associate with, think you're a lunatic for giving your check, giving 10% of your check to a church. They think, are you out of your mind? They think, are you crazy? You've been to work all day. You're stressed out to the max. You're tired and wore out. Why in the world are you going down there on Wednesday night? Verse 15, and when the morning arose. Hallelujah, I'm glad there's a morning coming. You listen to me, church, child of God, are you saved tonight? I'm glad there's a morning coming. And it ain't going to be long. There's going to be a morning come for me and you that there's never going to be a night again. And it's just around the corner. The stage is setting. The stage is setting. We have singers to come in to sing up here. And Brother Ken lets them. They come in early. You know what they do? They set up their speakers. They set up their sound system. They're getting ready for the time that the pastor says come. You know what this world is doing? It's setting up. It's getting ready for when the Father says. I love it. I think about over there, Big the Bear, the Northern Army, Russia, is they setting the stage over there. China's now, they setting the stage, the million-man army from the East. Hallelujah. Revelation's fixing to unfold. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. But there's a lot. There's a lot to come in and out of these doors. It's dying. If he come back tonight, if God sent this message tonight just out of sheer kindness,
I want to tell him one more time before I come back.
If he come back tonight at midnight, if he come back in the morning, they'd go to hell. They'd die in their sins. They'd go through the tribulation period. And that's nothing to laugh about. I want to share this with you briefly on before time runs out. Before time runs out. There ain't a man in here, a woman, boy, or girl that knows when your time's up. You know, I got to thinking there was the Patrick guy that passed away down at Brother Allen's church was a younger fella. I think about a friend of mine at the church I used to pastor that his wife passed away younger than me. I believe she was. You know, anybody in this room could be in the ground Saturday at lunch. Isn't that sobering? In the ground. Done said your graveside service and everything they put fly. Listen, it's time we wake up before your time runs out. You know what? Before time runs out, we ought to adjust our focus. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to quit courting the world. It's time to quit flirting with the disaster. And it's time to get some things straight. You know what Lot focused on? If you look back in Genesis chapter number 13, Lot focused on profit. Lot focused on popularity. He sat in the gate of this city. He was a prosperous man. He looked over the well-watered plains of Jordan and he said, "That's what I want." And if you're not careful today, you'll look at all the frills and the thrills of this life and all the dollars and all the toys and trinkets and it'll captivate you and capture you and you will not be able to get away with it from when, if it ever sinks its hooks inside you. Lot focused on profit, but he lost it all. Lot focused on popularity. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be somebody that everybody looked to. He wanted to be somebody that everybody went to and looked at and enjoyed to be with. But you'd better get your focus back on the Lord. Lot focused on his passions. Watch your passions. Lot, I believe he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe he went down to this land here because it was all pleasurable to him. You be careful following your pleasures because it'll lead you straight out of the church. It already has many. Oh, listen, the devil wants to tell you that you can find peace and that you're tired and you're wearisome and you're stressed to the max and here for the weekend. If you go over there for a little while and get apart, you'll hurt yourself. But I want you to understand this. There's nothing more important than you need than to be in God's house when the doors are open. Oh, listen to me. The devil's a liar and he's the father of it. He'll tell you that you need this and you need that. You need more money. You need more pleasure. But I'm telling you, you need God worse than you need anything. We need to adjust our focus. But you know what else? We're to alter our fellowship. And it's sad tonight. And I hope maybe I'm speaking to somebody on Facebook. Maybe they're there and can see the Holy Ghost is ringing your bell. I believe it with all my heart. You ought to be in God's house. Facebook's a good thing in a pandemic. But when and there's older people. I'm all for it, and I'm not the judge of that. Do what you want to. But I'm going to tell you what God's told me. You need to be in God's house. time's running out. Before time runs out, you better alter your fellowship. How many folks has forsook the church? How many folks has forsook the church? I cannot emphasize how important God's house is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Where in the world has our mind? Where in the world has our thought process gone? What have we forgotten? Our Sunday school lessons? And so much the more, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25, and so much the more, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We need to be here. You say, well, ain't much going on Wednesday night. It's usually dead. It's dried up. We'll go through a formality. You need to be here anyway. Forsook the church. He followed after the city. Isn't it something nowadays how we're training up a generation? God help. I hope he does come back. Because the generation of kids that's coming up right now is 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 10, 12 years old, 13, 14, 15, however. This generation that's coming up now, when they get in their 30s, it's going to be a sight for sore eyes. They following now. They go into the big cities. They following after these big cities. Hollywood money, professionals. They want to be like, isn't it crazy in this world, the most ignorant, idiotic thing that you've ever heard tell? All of our kids are wanting to be like the ones that are overdosing on medication and killing themselves and committing suicide and cannot even go to the Dairy Queen and get an ice cream without having to put a wig and a mask and eyeglasses on themselves. Yet our kids want to be like them. God help us. What a sad time. You say, what does all this add up to, preacher? It adds up to the last minutes. God's slowly turning His back. One of these days, He's going to shut to the door. And He's telling you right now, Lot, you got anything here besides sons-in-law, daughters? If you got anything here that matters, you better go tell them. You better go tell them because we're fixing to burn this place down. We're fixing to destroy this place. Lot! Go tell them. We ought to adjust our focus. We ought to... But wouldn't it be a blessing if we could anchor our families? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could anchor our families? My kids are already... Lily will be 17 this year, and Chloe's already in her 20s. My raising's done. Listen, your raising, when you're raising your kids, is, and you mom and daddies that will agree with me, the raising part starts from when about they're 1 year old until they're about 12 years old. Am I right, mom and daddy? When they get teenagers, you better hope you've instilled some values in them when they're in their younger years, because when they get to be teenagers, they got a mind of their own. And you better hope that you planted the Word of a thrice holy God down in their soul. I'm saying not in their mind, but in their soul. Because you may make a mind when they're 16 years old at home, but they'll do as they please when they leave your house and go to school. I hope you know what you can do? You may not be able to save the world. You may not be able to win everybody at your plant. You may not be able to win everybody at your school. You may not be able to win everybody to Christ that you come in contact with. But listen to me. You and your three, you and your family, you can make a difference. And it ain't too late. We always harp as preachers. And I've harped on it. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. But I want to say something a little better. We've always harped on getting the belt out and tearing their backside up. But let me say this. I'll name you one that'll work a whole lot better than that. Listen, they do need their backside striped every once in a while. Say amen. They do need a whooping every once in a while. Not a corner, but they need tearing up. But I'll tell you something that'll do them better than that is to know exactly where mama and daddy goes to an old-fashioned altar in the house and calls on God. They need to see you praying over your dinner plate. Listen, I don't care if it's a hot dog or a steak. You ought to pray over it and show your kids that there is a God in heaven. And if you'll do that long enough, from when they're 2 years old and they're looking at you while you're praying like you're a nut. By the time they're 16 years old, when they sit down at the table, they'll know not to even touch that hot dog before daddy prays. Oh God, what have we done? Where have we gotten to where we're at today? Lord, I anchor our families. Companions are made light of. God's put you with the one you've got, your wife or your husband. You ought to cherish him. Listen, I heard a song one time that said, God give you some people, and you may know who or what it is, but God give you some special people in your life. But you better enjoy them, you better love them, because before long you may ask for them back. Companions are made light of. Children are left out. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I don't leave my kids out. Listen, we do all the things for our kids, but what's important? Now, I'm going to ring a bell with you, and I don't care if you like it. You can throw something at me, and I'll be pleased to let you just hit me in the head. But I'm going to tell you what a child needs. A child needs a mama. You know what a mama is? Not a mother. Anybody can be a mother that's got a womb and gets pregnant and bears a child. There's a lot of mothers that's aborted babies, and they say they're not mothers, but they are mothers. There's a lot of mothers that give up their children to adoption. But you know what a kid needs? A kid needs a mama. How many of y'all knows what a mama is? You know what little Johnny needs? He needs a daddy. He needs a daddy. He don't need $20 more for this toy. He don't need you to work 2 hours overtime so that he can go do this and have a nicer car. But what he needs is a daddy that'll get there and play with him and do things with him. That's what he needs. If you don't believe me, you ask him. You ask her. Ask your daughters what they really need. My goodness. I wonder why it is that once you've lived life, you've just about figured it out. But then it's too late. Once you've done lived and once you've done raised your kids, I know what I did wrong. But it's too late. But you can make a difference. You can make a difference before time runs out on you. You can make a difference. You can anchor your family. Companions made light of. Children's left out. The church is a last resort. It's a spare tire. It's something we go to when everything's falling apart or tore up. When it ought to be the forefront.
It ought to be the top priority. Lastly, not only do we need to adjust our focus and alter our fellowship, anchor our families, but we are to acquire a future. You know, they just lost their love. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 that the love of many will wax cold. You know what's wrong in America today? You know what's wrong? It's a love problem. God is pulling His hand back. God, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God's pulling back out of America. You know where God dwells in America? He dwells in His saints. He don't dwell in this building right here. God forbid, but this building right here and the tabernacle could burn down before Sunday morning. But let me tell you something. We could have church like we've never had it before without this building here, without that tabernacle up there. Why? Because God don't dwell in this house. He don't dwell in Vatican City. He dwells in the children of men. He dwells in His children, His sons and His daughters. We've lost our love for the Savior. The saints, I've challenged myself, and I've looked at myself, my own life, and I thought about how sorry and low down I really am. Let me tell you how sorry and low down I am, and how sorry and low down I've gotten. Is Calvary has gotten to where it doesn't break my heart no more. Used to, you could hear somebody. Now, I remember this, and I ain't that old. Used to, I could remember somebody preach on the cross. And I could hear him tell about his hands being pierced. And I could hear about him tell how they pierced his side and how they platted that crown of thorns and the blood run down his face, how they plucked his beard, how they spit on him. Boy, it just tired me up. It hurt me. And I'm going to say this. It hurt me like He was a part of me. But I've got so sorry. I've gotten to the place, Brother David, I've got so sorry that I could hear a preacher talk about the cross. It wouldn't even bother me. It ought to tear us to pieces. That's our Savior. That's our Redeemer. If He hadn't have done it, we'd all be in hell. And that's where we deserve to be. We ought to be busting hell wide open right now. God ought to retract His salvation. I'm so sorry. But listen to me. He loved me so much that He climbed up on an old rugged cross and He bled and He died on that tree so that I, in my sorry self, forsaking Him, could go free. You know what's happened here? Lost my love. You know what I think a lot of us has done tonight? We've lost our love for the Savior. We've lost our love for the church. It's sad when we have a prayer meeting. And I know I'm going to step on some toes, but I don't care. Maybe the last time you get to hear it anyway. Time's running out. It's sad when we have a prayer meeting and 6 or 7 or 8 shows up in a congregation of 300 or 400. Let me tell you what will change things is men agreeing, touching on a certain issue and calling on a holy God. It'll change issues. Don't let the devil tell you it won't, because it will. But we've lost our love for the church. We've lost our love for the Savior. You know what some I want to say this. Some's living a lie. Some's living a lie. Looks good. I mean, it looks phenomenal. Looks awesome. You look like the best Christian. You look like you've got it all together. Let me say this. I've been there. You know down on the inside, it's in shambles. If you're saved tonight, you're living a lie, you come in here with your big mask on, and I ain't talking about a COVID mask, but you got all the right twinkle in your eyes, you got all the right smile when you walk through these doors, but when you go outside these doors and get in your car, your life is literally about to fall slap to pieces. Has anybody ever been there besides me? Am I the only nutcase in the house? Let me say, you know why you're here tonight in God's house? You know why you're here? You know why we got this curved wood platform right here that reaches from door to door on sides of the... You know why it's here? So you can come to this house here and you ain't got to wear a mask. And you can get in this altar and you can fall slap to pieces before a holy God and before your brothers and sisters in Christ. And ain't nobody in here going to judge you or we'll jap slap them. Amen. And you get out here and cry your eyes out. And your brothers and sisters will cry their eyes out with you. Yeah, and God will help you. That's what it's for. You ain't going to put on no mask like everything's right down at your house. Everybody ain't that ignorant. You take the best house in here, best family in here. Everything ain't perfect. I got news for you. Are you living a lie? Can I get Amy to sing something for an invitation? Listen now. Some that's just lost their love. You see where I'm at tonight? Some's just lost their love. Time's running out. Some is living a lie. We notorious for, singing a little bit and having a little altar call. And when the end of the verse comes, everybody's got to get up out of the altar. Y'all just stay down here one time, just see what happens. They'll sing it again. They'll sing another verse. Stay on down here. I don't care if it takes 29 verses. We'll stay here. If somebody needs to leave, they can leave. That's why I look at it. I always have looked at it that way. But some people's just, hear me now. Some people's treading on thin ice. And they're just plain lost. Some folks is just lost. You think about this right now. We use this on Saturday night. As Brother Ken says, I want you to picture where folks sits out here. And I guarantee you I could come to either one of y'all tonight and ask you where so-and-so sits. And you'd say, yeah, they sit over on that wing. I don't know exact pew, but I know where they sit. They sit over here. You know where they're at. I want you to picture them tonight. I want you to picture your children. I want you to picture the one that you sit by at work. I want you to picture the one that you talk to commonly. And you better hear the preacher tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is fixing to fulfill all prophecy. He's fixing to fulfill this book here. The last amen is fixing to be said. Can you picture them dying and going to hell? Can you see them what if it worked? I work in construction. It's a rough field, but what if one day all of a sudden, in a moment, in a twinkling of eye, and I believe this, he calls us out. And I look down, and he ain't moving. What if one day we're in this pew and up we go, and all of a sudden we'd catch a glimpse back down in the pew, and the one beside us is still there and they ain't moving? It ought to terrify us. I tell you what, my kids, I love them to death. I'd go to hell for them if I had to, if I could, but God won't let me because I'm His, I'm saved. I love them that much. And I've wept over them, I've prayed over them, I've wept and wept and wept, and you have too. But what if we'd get a burden like that for others? God, help us, church, before time runs out, to really get a grasp of when it does happen. One of these days soon, you're going to see the Lamb of God step out on a cloud. And it's going to be so fast, you're not going to be able to grab your coat. You're not going to be able to grab this or that. It's going to be that fast. Is there anything? I want to ask you this tonight. We're going to have an altar call. Is there anything that you need to fix before you leave? Is there anything that you need to fix before you leave? Is there anybody? Hast thou anything here besides? Is there anybody that you want to go with you? While she says, Father, we come to you tonight. Holy Ghost, I've minded you. I pray you'd help this people, help us as a church, to realize that time's running out. God, help us to pray, to get a burden for sinners. Help us to heed your call. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So